all way in the dirty, hurt me, got me going on. What's good? This is the Enigma Self Hour. It's your boy Enigma Self, back in the building. Episode number 9. Yo. Know me, you know the significance of the number 9. If you don't, check my Twitter, at EnigmaSelf9. And I explained it a couple of days ago, unless you're listening to this 2 months from now or a year from now, and you're like, Enigma, I'm not going back to a tweet that you made in the middle of September in 2018. I'm not doing that. Anyway, a little clue to get into it off top. The number 9, there's various things in regards to the number 9. My last name, September. 9 letters, okay? I graduated from high school long, long time ago, the class of 99. According to DMV, Portland DMV, I'm 5'9". Sounds like the Royce. The month of September is the 9th month. Not only that, my entire birthday is divisible by 9. My dad was the 9th child born in his family. And last but not least, because there's actually not last, because there's a whole bunch of other 9s that involved my life, but my daughter was born on November 9th. Not only that, I was 36. Yeah, 2016, divisible by 9. I became a father. So, boom, boom, bam, that's why EnigmaSelf9 is my Twitter handle. That and my old Twitter handle got jacked up or something. I don't know. Twitter, give me back Enigma Self. How about that? Regardless, enough about me, right? Who's egotistical enough to name their podcast after themselves? Anyway, welcome to any and everybody listening to the podcast. This is the Enigma Self Hour powered by Freedom Train Network. I forgot to do that last week. Pat, Joe, you guys can beat me up when you see me. Giving the platform to black folks everywhere. That's not their official motto, but that's what I'm giving them because I'm that guy and I come up with mottos. Because you got time. Are you not entertained? I actually had another motto. The initial Enigma Self motto was get on board. I listened to my first podcast last week and I was like, get on board? The hell? Yeah, so anyway, Freedom Train Network, Freedom Train Radio is powering this. They're making this available. They brought the Enigma Self Hour back, so shout out to them boys and everyone involved. You can check out my podcast and other podcasts at freedomtrainradio.com. Get it right, okay? So you guys make sure you visit that website. You can also get you can find this podcast and other archive, Enigma Self Hour podcast on iTunes, on the Freedom Train Radio iTunes page, as well as the Freedom Train Radio Google Play page. Also, too, I'll be posting this on SoundCloud and on Mixcloud. You can find the archives on my end at mixcloud.com/EnigmaSelf with no 9. Because I didn't do it for that one. But anyway, so if you want to get into the past 8 episodes from this, the new and improved Enigma Self Hour, you can do that. Plus, you got YouTube. I got the live broadcast where you can just look at me talk to myself if you like because I'm pretty. And, yeah, you can do that. Anyway, the other man, Big Low, he'll be coming in live from tour. Our correspondent of the hour. he's coming live on tour, man. He's in D.C. right now. My man's on tour, literally. He's a real rapper. You other rapper guys, they stuck in your living room doing podcasts, claiming to be a rapper. Think you're a rapper. Anyway, but yeah, a new project. Just dropped The Illegalist, and we're going to play a couple of tracks and dig in his brain and see what's going on. Also, too, my man's a fellow Libra. So shout out to him. speaking of the album, damn, I don't know how it looks. I'm not looking at the live joint. What? Damn, my man Project. Me. I support work. What? What? My man got merch. I support. So, yeah. Big up the Better Music. What's up, man? Let's see. John Lucas and Hopkins. Are they really battling? I thought it was just tweet. I haven't heard anything in the past 14, 15 hours because of work, amongst other things. So let me know. So I'm at Better Music on the YouTube in the comments. Check out the live. Boom. Leave a comment. Holler at your boy. You get a shout out on the podcast. Boom, boom, bam. You know what I'm saying? That's how I go. Oh, shoot. Who I got? John Lucas and Hopkins? That's a good question. That's a really good question. I'm gonna go with Hobson. I'm gonna go with the experience. I think Hobson been spitting for a while. Granted, it'd be a good battle, but I'm just gonna go with the experience. I think Hobson just don't give a care enough to really pull all the punches. All the punches. Now, I do think Jonah may be more gifted. I mean, he may be a better song. I think Jonah may be a. Jonah may come with a hotter song. Jonah may even be more gifted, but I think Hobson, he's crazier than Eminem and Tech N9ne. I think he don't really go in. So, like I said, he just got the experience. He's been in the game a lot longer. Anyway, we'll get to that a little later. But I gotta stop doing that at work. What we finna do. It's getting to this first track. Again, it's September, and this is the Enigma Step Hour. So I'm going to play Enigma Step songs because I can, and I will, because I can do that. Who's going to stop me? FCC, program manager. Guess what? I am the program manager, so we can get into it. War No More by Enigma Step from the Super Enigma EP. This is the Enigma Step Hour. You got time, baby.
The game, hold mass for masses that follow these lanes. Fools want it with mass, yes, to mask their pain. Soft as mashed potatoes, greasier than sugar cane. After multiple setups, they just can't refrain from getting shine when I'm shining. They pray for the rain, return of Hussein. Third term president, bomb over Baghdad. Shots leave them hesitant, frozen in their tracks. Siberian snowstorm, hit them with a shot. Body shook, now they souls gone. Leave without a trace, bloody aftertaste. They heart cease from pumping their souls and out of space. All the pace, my chase to erase those that hate. May hate with they fate, they just can't escape. At this rate, separate the great from the flakes. Cause you're corny and you bore me, you wanna be Drake's.
So you wanna be hardcore,
but they don't want war no more.
So you wanna be hardcore,
but they don't want war no more.
So you wanna be hardcore,
but they don't want war no more.
So you wanna be hardcore,
but they don't want war no more.
Yeah, they don't want war no more. Story scenes full of broken. Walking down the boulevard of broken dreams. Supplement the real with these token rings. While suppressing the pain that hopeless brings. I hope this brings any doubt. The South forever slouch when we on the mound. We come to put it down. That hardcore that you've been asking for. Like my man Big Low when he's on tour. For sure, leave Enigma too ill for the pill. While you try to babysit the game like Uncle Phil. No thanks to the big banks, I am a loner. Ripping MCs from Tallahassee to California. Soul lies in the intersection. I'm a reading in the neck, know ya. I am that soldier. And don't say I never told ya. The pressure will fold ya. And I know cause.
So you wanna be hardcore,
but they don't want war no more.
So you wanna be hardcore,
but they don't want war.
Wanna be hardcore,
but they don't want war no more.
So you wanna be hardcore,
but they don't want war no more.
So you wanna be hardcore. So you wanna be hardcore. So you wanna be hardcore. So you wanna be hardcore.
Yeah. This is your boy Enigma September. This is the Enigma Step Hour. That was War No More by your boy Enigma Step. Shouts out to my man's Daquan with the with the beat, man. That was on Super Enigma. Still available on SoundCloud and Bandcamp if you're interested. What was it? EnigmaStep9.bandcamp.com. Holler at your boy about that. Anyway, man, we can get into the top 10 rap albums. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is boring. I'm joking. No, this is kind of some entry. I guess Billboard heard me and decided to jazz it up. Number one, for the second week in a row, Eminem with Kamikaze. Number two, Russ with the L, because he came in at number two, with Zoo. Actually, listen to that project. It's great. Russ, all right. I mean, it wasn't nothing spectacular, but he good. He make good songs. He raps well. You know, I can't. It's not hateable, but it ain't nothing like, oh my gosh, he's the next one. Nah, he's just a good rapper. Make good songs. I don't see why you hate. It's just a thing. But hey, speaking of hate, number three, Drake with Scorpion. Number four, Mac Miller showing love. People showing love, giving them spins. Swimming is back in the top 10. Number five, Travis Scott with Astroworld. Six. Speaking of plants, Post Malone with Beer Bongs and Bentleys. Number seven, the what the hell moment of the week, which used to be a segment on the Nick Myself Hour, and I need to bring that back. Suicide Boys, I Want to Die in New Orleans is number seven, who actually beat out number eight, Nicki Minaj, Queen. Who's taking the L this week? Doesn't like his Russ. Looks like somebody with, Queens. Number nine, Juice WRLD with Goodbye and Good Riddance. Number 10, Triple X Tentacion with Question Mark. So that's your top 10 hot albums, top albums in rap according to Billboard. And yeah, some record labels just playing their records, streaming their records over and over again so it stays on there. Post Malone. Anyway, number top 10, top hot off the grill rap songs. Number one. Y'all know what number one is. I ain't even going to say it. Number two, Cardi B, Bad Bunny, and J Balvin with I Like It. Number three, Post Malone, Better Now. Plant. Number four, Juice WRLD with Lucid Dreams. Number five, Kanye West and Lil Pump with I Like It. Trash-ass song, man. That shit, trash. Yeah, I said it. Trash. Adele Givens look good in it, though. She'll be in the game in a minute for a minute. She will. They'll give us like that was the highlights of the video. I was like, hey, Trixie. She looked better in the video than she did in Players Club. I'm just saying. Number six, Tekashi 6ix9ine featuring Nicki Minaj and Murder Beats with Fifi. Number seven, Travis Scott with Sicko Mode. Number eight, Tiger featuring Offset with Taste. I kind of like that song. Number nine, Machine Gun Kelly with Rap Devil, which won't be here next week, trust me, because Kill Shots will do his job. And number 10, Drake with Nonstop. So there you go, people. Hey, if you don't like it, get the streaming. Go on YouTube and just play whatever song you like, continuous for a million times a week, and then you can make a change. If not, these are the songs you have to deal with. So I'm going to get off that and go ahead and get into the next song. My man, that's the MC featuring C-Red, E&J, and you might hear a voice that sounds eerily similar to the voice you're listening to now. Maybe. And the name of the track is Kill a Black Man in America. Oh, man, that's the MC. This is the Nick Myself Hour. You got time, baby.
To Judge Arthur Cooperman in the trial of three NYPD detectives in the Sean Bell case. Of those three officers that had various charges, including manslaughter as one of them, to reckless endangerment. We understand that the judge has decided not guilty on all of the charges.
Good evening. For the second time in as many weeks, a grand jury has found the evidence is just not there to charge a white police officer in connection with the death of a black civilian. This one involves the video seen around the world by now showing a man named Eric Garner being taken down
town.
27-year-old Randall Carrick was released Saturday on $50,000 bond after shooting and killing 24-year-old Jonathan Farrell, a former Florida A&M University football player.
There is growing outrage tonight after an unarmed African-American teenager was shot and killed by police in the St. Louis suburb of Ferguson, Missouri.
My name's Terrence, I have a clean-cut appearance. I got a little sister, we live with both parents. Mama is a nurse, Pop started as an apprentice. Then 5 years later, he owns his own business. I'm an A-B student, they say my sis gifted. Love R&B, but get ratchet a quick listen. Scholarship to college, no relatives in prison. As far as my major, I gotta make a decision. It's my graduation night, mama lent me the Benz. Go out with my cousin and one of my friends. After a house party, we called it a night. 10 minutes later, it was blue and red lights. It went so fast, it really escalated quick. We got spat on, maced, tasered, and kicked. He unloaded his clip, and slowly we died. The last thing I saw was that look in his eyes.
Good evening. I'm Stephen Shackles with 11 Not-So-Alive News. We have a story developing in the area suburb. Three suspected carjackers were killed after a shootout with police. It started out as a routine traffic stop. Officer Bobby Bichaski, a 22-year veteran of the police force, saw a newer model Mercedes-Benz. After a tussle, Bichaski was forced to draw his weapon and kill the three criminals.
I'm really trying to make sense of it. Just give me justice. Can't heal my pain with your sentiments. They try to tell me bad things happen by coincidence. Love my son with everything before he was an infant since conception. Now they trying to spin it like they thought you had a weapon. You ain't nothing but a thug and this teaches us a lesson. So they had to throw you in the fire, knowing that you would still be breathing if your skin was whiter or your car was cheaper. The news anchors ain't gonna paint you as a martyr because your skin is dark but heart is deeper. Me and your father need you, and that's true indeed. Never dreamed I'd hear your christening and eulogy. It ain't supposed to be like that. I see the comments, but if we write back, they'll say the issue isn't the white-black relations. I lost my faith in man, they're killing us across the nation.
We have an update on the ongoing investigation concerning the three area teens who were killed after attacking a police officer during a routine traffic stop. The mother of Terrence Robinson released a statement to police expressing her disbelief that her son would be involved in any wrongdoing, stating that he was a good kid. But Officer Bobby Bichaski is sticking to his original report.
Man, I can't take it. The whole world's going to shit. My daughter loves hip-hop, and of course, Monkey's the president. My son loves a colored girl with a big booty.
Hold on. Officer Bichaski, reporting for duty.
Don't that beat all. Just when I needed to end my day. Teenage coons in a Benz legally? Ain't no goddamn way. Hit the lights, bust the U-turn, pull their asses over good.
Stop off the billboard, put your guy in picking hands on the hood.
Who's the Mercedes you stole? No ones? But y'all some drug dealers or rappers? Who are you? Young Negro? MC Nigger? This Mace a Taser, make sure that you thugs can't run. No weapon? No problem. Now your ass got a gun. Self-defense is the reason y'all got dead. It's y'all some hot boys, cause you're full of hot lead. Ain't make sense to throw you in an overcrowded jail. Can send you back to Africa, so I sent your asses straight to hell.
We have breaking news to report. Officer Bobby Bichaski went in front of a grand jury for the killing of three thugs this morning. And in a unanimous decision, it was determined that he would not have to stand trial. He has been cleared of all wrongdoing. Bobby Bichaski gets to return to his job with full pension and benefits. During his testimony, he said, quote, "All these thugs out here look alike. How was I supposed to know they weren't criminals?" Meanwhile, the family of the three youths are preparing for funeral services today.
There you have it, folks. The killer black man in America. My man, Steph, the MC. He was on his Lion's Share 2 project, produced by Backpack Beats. So, hey, my man dropped that like a couple of years ago, bro. A couple of years ago, and here we are, right? Crazy. But before I get into all of that, well, not even all of that, but we got some miscues and some. We got some hits and misses today, all right? So, bro, hopefully, you know what? Shout out to my not only my other Libra bruh, but my birthday twin. For the fake out, a man with the fake out. pick all y'all out. Lil Wayne supposed to drop the Carter 5 today, and it didn't happen. Well, at least he got another hour and 9 minutes to pull it out. So those in the future who's listening to this, you'll be like, ah, hi, Nigma, you was wrong. Or you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that, but he dropped it whenever he did. Or maybe he did, never did. Who knows? Come back and tell us. Did he drop it or not? But, yeah, he was supposed to drop the Carter 5 today. It didn't happen. Whoop-de-whoop. I ain't gonna lie, I'm not really anticipating much out of the Carter 5. I hope it's like a whole new project, not like whatever he had stored. But on the flip side, like, I mean, I think we're gonna listen for the culture. And this is a good time for the culture to have people listening, but I don't think it's gonna be as hard as people. It's not gonna be a classic. Chill. Just enjoy it. Don't put the classic tag on it before it drops. But one thing I'm excited about, y'all may not be excited, but I am. Andy Mineo dropped a project, The Sword. I think he's dropping a series of podcasts. He probably will start doing that soon, of EPs. He got an Arrow earlier this year. The best thing for me about the project is that he had Fonte. And like I alluded in a tweet today, Tales of a College Grad, Nothing was heavily influenced by Fonte's was it Charity Stars at Home, as far as like the mood of the project. And with the Super Enigma, Andy Mineo's Neverland had a heavy influence in regards to the mood of that project. So to see those two artists work together and do a song together, the name of the song is Donut, if you want to check it out. Yeah, man, I was excited. That was an early birthday present. And yes, my birthday is in 6 days. Get the cash out, bro. What's good? Holler at your boy. But no, so that was a present. It's present because it's now. Pleasant surprise for me. So all of those that were disappointed in my twin bro, September 27th, holier than the Sabbath, for not dropping his project, I am happy about Andy Mineo dropping his. So today was a good day for me. Don't know about you guys, but it's a good day for me. Also, too, man, I want to get into something real quick. Part of the reason why I did rock the Black Man in America. Now, I'm not going to get into the Shem apartment killing thing. I got into that last week. But there was a couple things that I saw in, not social media, but in the media in general. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way. First, there was the whole Cat Williams versus Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. Quick rundown, Cat Williams on a radio station in Atlanta had some choice words about the two, as and also to the hosts of the show. Can't think of the old lady's name. He roasted her ass. Cat Williams was for the smoke that day, and Shorty got it. But a lot of people like didn't feel bad because they figured she go after people anyway, so she got what she deserved. But he did take shots at Kevin Hart and Tiffany, and in particular, Tiffany Haddish. Kevin Hart, Tiffany Haddish were on The Breakfast Club, the biggest radio show you can be on. They took shots back at him, in particular, Kevin Hart. Just basically saying, like, yo, Cat Williams, you had your chance. Stop blaming on Hollywood and the white man. You had your chance. You lost it. Blah, blah, blah. We out here grinding. Stop hate. So, yeah, that. On the flip side, I decided to check out Joe Budden's new State of the Union. We got a couple people on there. In particular, you got Remy Ma on there. And we got Jinx, who's part of the cast or whatever. And it was episode 2. I haven't checked it all out. I was just watching just to get caught up after come across episode 2. And they started talking about Black Lives Matter. And the man Jinx was trying to explain to him, like, yo, this is why, you know, we have this group. Oh, that's why the group, you know, is in existence because of, because they're talking about Zimmerman threatening Jay-Z and Beyonce. He's trying to explain Black Lives Matter, and Joe and Remy was like, well, Black Lives Matter need to be for black people. We don't need to tell white people about Black Lives Matter. We need to tell ourselves that, blah, 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 blah. But it was like, we are, but and also to telling white people. They wasn't hearing. So, yeah, those two things. And the thing about it that got me, and, you know, if I'm wrong in my take in regards to these two situations, so be it. Hit me up, at me, bro, at EnigmaSelp9, Facebook.com/EnigmaSelp, EnigmaSelp. I mean, Instagram.com/EnigmaSelp, holler at me if you disagree or if you want to correct me. But my take on it was, I felt like, it's one thing I don't like in regards to, especially when it comes to them and us, I mean them white folks and are those that are in power, and us black folks are and are those who are being oppressed. And I'm talking in general. I know not all white folks are bad. My man, Seth, is white, and that song I just played, he understands. On the flip side, not all black people are monolithic. I get that. But so when I say white folks, black folks, I'm speaking in very general terms for simplicity. But what rubs me the wrong way is I really don't like when people want to say that black folks need to get their act together and basically leave white folks alone. Nah, no. Because at the end of the day, first of all, we ain't promised freedom and justice. They did. White folks wrote and signed the Constitution that promised freedom and justice for all. Not black folks. We ain't promised not a damn thing. We just promised to be black and die, right? So this idea that black folks got to be on the straight and narrow and we got to do good, stop killing each other and doing drugs and, you know, having babies out of wedlock, blah, blah, blah. Stop. No, stop that. Nah, we granted, yeah, we should want to be great, want to do better for ourselves. But that is not an excuse to take the foot off the neck of white people when they doing wrong. That don't excuse, and that's the problem. Same thing with the Shem dude in Dallas. They want to call out, oh, he had weed in his apartment. As if that justifies a cop coming in his crib, rather the door is ajar or not, and shooting him dead in his own crib. Or any unarmed black man. Just because they did this, they had gold in their teeth, they had a felony back in the day, they got arrested for selling Lucy's, whatever, whatever. That's not an excuse. And it shouldn't be an excuse. And I don't like it when black folks do that, when they act like we got to be on top of everything. We've been on top of everything. Despite everything we went through or been through, we've done a lot. So when something happens to us and it's happening on a regular basis and we seeing these things happen, that's not an excuse for white folks just to be able to do whatever the hell they want to do and thinking, oh, we need to shut up because we ain't doing what we supposed to do. Nah, player. No, that's not how that works. That's not how that works. Now, granted, yeah, I'm not saying that we should just be out here wilding, whatever, whatever. No, we shouldn't be out here wilding. But I'm not going to excuse wrong just because we feel like we need to do right. And then also, too, the question is, who determines what's right? All right? Who determines what should be and what shouldn't be done? The oppressor? Oh, you the one to determine? Oh, you need to do this and do that. And then we turn back around and say, well, they said we need to do this and do that. If we don't want to get shot, if we don't want to get beat, if we don't want to be poor, if we want opportunities. Like, really, bro? And, like, especially with Joe and Remy, you know what I'm saying, on that show or whatever, like, it really came off that way where it's just like we excusing oppression. Because we not doing right. When the fact of the matter is, we've had people, many people. Most of us, matter of fact, most of us are doing right. That's another thing too. That's what we got to get out of our heads. We sit here and think that we not doing right. Oh, we ratchet. Oh, we bad. We don't talk proper, and we listen to the hippity hippity hop and blah 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 blah. Most black folks I know, but on the same scale as about the white folks I know, are doing well, are doing what the hell they supposed to be doing. And if they are doing a little something, something on the side, something that maybe somebody somewhere don't approve of, ain't no different than anybody else in this world, because ain't nobody perfect. So they expect black folks to be perfect or more than perfect because we require or request that we have a redress of grievances. If I said that right, don't judge me. But if we sit here and want to say, look, we think this is what happened, this is what we feel should be happening to us or shouldn't be happening to us, don't shoot back and be like, oh, we need to get ourselves, you need to get ourselves together. Ain't no better than Rudy Giuliani talking about, oh, black people getting shot? What about black on black crime? Bro, first of all, they ain't got nothing to do with the argument. Second, if you really care about black on black crime, what you doing about it, right? Well, if you ain't doing nothing about it, but you just want to mention it as a counter argument, or not even a counter argument, because you're not countering the argument, you're bringing a whole other situation into the topic as a distraction. You ain't doing nothing. You the ops. You the problem. So, like, lay off that, man. Lay off that. Someone's saying, look, black folks is dealing with this, black folks is dealing with that. Don't come with an argument, oh, but what black folks doing? Cause ain't nobody perfect. That don't mean that they don't deserve justice. That's anybody, white, black, whoever. They don't care what you're doing. You deserve justice. It's because based off the fact that you a God-created creature, you deserve justice. You deserve peace. You deserve to be able to live your life as long as you ain't messing with nobody else. As long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And even if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, as long as you ain't violating somebody, somebody shouldn't be coming violating you. If you get violated, then you should be able to get just cause for that. So chill out with that whole black people need to get their act together. We got our act together, man. And they ain't talking about, they ain't even talking about, talking, they ain't not directing this to white people. Anybody. Black people, we good. Can we get better? Yeah. Yeah, we can get better. But trust me, man, we good. I tell you, black folks I see, the black folks around me, we straight. Are they perfect? Nah, they ain't perfect. I sure ain't perfect. Damn sure ain't perfect. But does that mean if I leave, if I walk out my door right now, and a cop just pull up and just randomly shoot me, I'm supposed to die? I'm supposed to die because I had a child out of wedlock? I'm supposed to die because I work for the state? Y'all know my real job. Anyway, I'm supposed to die because I was in top flight drinking some liquor a couple weeks ago? I'm supposed to die because I'm fat? I don't know. It's a ton of things, man. It's a ton of things. And it just really rubs me the wrong way when I see that. And, I mean, even with the Kevin Hart thing, seems like it's kind of out there. But I guess with the Kevin Hart situation and with Cat Williams, he was basically saying, well, you can't blame Hollywood if you went out and started doing drugs and they decide not to deal with you. And I get that. But again, it kind of went back to that ideal of, oh, you wasn't being perfect, so you didn't get your just due. But it's like, look at Robbie Dowden Jr. He was out there doing drugs, acting out. He was able to revive his career. You know what I'm saying? They brought him back in. What's the other boy? The I'm winning guy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Charlie Sheen. Y'all forgot about that, didn't you? I know most of y'all did. Yo, what's good, Joe? Yo, in the building. My bad if I ain't see y'all in YouTube land. I'm saying ranting. But my little rants. But Charlie Sheen, he was acting out for a whole damn half a year, not a whole year. Still allowed him to do whatever. And granted, I mean, Cat Williams, he just won an Emmy. So he ain't out of the loop like that, you know what I'm saying? But it was just, what rubbed me the wrong way was, ooh, Lord, that was bad. What rubbed me the wrong way was just Kevin Hart kind of brushed aside the idea that Hollywood and all white people in Hollywood, he tried to bring it back. I can't throw it all on him, what he said, but he kind of tried to brush aside the idea that Hollywood doesn't hold back, or didn't hold back, at least Cat Williams, in a sense, or they wouldn't. Like, you just got to work hard. And it's like, yeah, you do have to work hard. Cool. We get that. Ain't no doubt about that. We get that. But to kind of brush aside and be like, well, if you're dealing with oppression, you just got to go against it. We know that. But don't act like Hollywood really isn't setting stuff up. Real talk. Don't act like these white executives ain't setting up for their favor. Even if they do give us a little piece of the pie. Don't act like they ain't trying to set it up where we can't advance or only advance so much. So, I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way in that regard, but definitely with Joe Budden and Remy Ma going at the Jinx dude or whatever in regards to Black Lives Matter. Just make me kind of trumpeteers, if you will. All right, what did you call them before they were trumpeteers? Anybody know? I forgot. Tea Partiers. That's what, damn, Tea Parties. Not conservatives, whatever. White nationalists, all of them. That's what you sound like when you, honestly, that's what you sound like when you say stuff like that. When you say stuff like black people need to get their act together and not complain about what the white man is doing, again, I'm talking in general, talking really in general. But when you say stuff like that, you really sound like one of them, like one of these white nationalists. And it's like, nah, even if there's some truth to it, I mean, good suit, ain't no front. Could it be that white nationalists can say some truth to about black folks? And black folks need to get themselves together. Yeah, they can. But where is their heart in it? And are what kind of solutions they bring into it? Are they just sitting there being like, well, black folks need to do this and black folks need to do that? Bro, nah. Nope. Not gonna take that. Not unless you are doing something, or you have something planned, and or your heart is in the right place. And if I don't know if your heart is in the right place, I'm not taking your criticism, bro. Nope. Not now. Not today. I ain't doing it. And so, again, black folks got to watch yourself. Check that. Check yourself. Make sure you ain't sounding like them. Straight up. Because you mess around and you're just endorsing what they saying, then next thing you know, they using your sound click. Sound click. Don't erase our song, sound click. Don't ever go down until I can download all 100 and how much is it? 180? Yeah, go see. 180 song that we got on sound click. Let's see. What in the world? What do we have here? Let me check on something. I got a cough, bro. I should have had some water. But nah. I'm a bad host to myself. How about that? I am a bad host to myself for not having water. Post it up. Ugh. I can't pause and be like, I need I need an assistant. That's what I need. An assistant to get me some water so I can get through this. And plus, we having not technical difficulties, but Nick Bussell is on ops again. But guess what? Guess what? Your boy knows how to edit. I do. From years and years of recording myself, I've learned how to edit, and therefore, so y'all listening live, y'all getting the raw deal, but on the flip side, we gonna go back and do some cutting and some pacing and getting it right. So y'all hold tight. We got this. I got a call. So hold up. Yo, y'all still out there? I got one. I wish I could see who's in the live. Why can't I see that? That's one thing YouTube is tripping on. I want to see who's in my live feed. Unless you got to type something. If you type something, I can see you. But if you don't type something, then I can't see you. And then I'm just looking crazy because I know there's a number of people that's looking at me, but I can't tell who is looking at me. And also, I wonder too if you need a profile. You may need a profile. That might be it. That might be what's good. You got a profile. Yeah, see your name. But if you're just watching randomly, then that won't work. So, who knows? Who knows? Wait a minute. Ooh. That's not going to work. No. Okay. So,
yo,
anyway.
What
we got, live listeners, you get the raw deal, but those listening to the recorded podcast. Without further ado, you got my man Big Low in the building. What's good, bro?
What's good, man? We're swerving through DC traffic right now. It's amazing, actually. There's lots of it. It's actually the worst city in the entire country to drive in.
I can imagine. Wait a minute. Didn't a black man design those streets? I don't appreciate that.
Yo, you know, that's kind of a weird place you just put me in, actually. I even if a black man did design it, he did an absolutely awful job of engineering the streets of the farm.
Hey, keep it real, man. Yeah. Benjamin Banneker is the ops. He should have did better. He should have forethought cars and lights and stuff. No, I'm pretty sure it's not his fault. I'm pretty sure it's Marion Barry's fault, if anybody. So,
no, what probably happened is like a black dude probably like originally designed them, and then some white guy came and like totally tore up the whole design and was like, no, this isn't going to work, and made it as complicated as possible.
Right. Like, we're not going to let this black man win. Of course not. Not today.
So,
one time for space for racial humor. Especially after what I was just talking about, this is great.
No, I'm like, wow, man, this is pretty heavy. If you're gonna have me coming in, I'm like, yo, I'm not black. I don't know if I'm really supposed to be flying in on this topic right now.
Nah, you good, bro. You good. I mean, it's still kind of. I can't ever say the word anarchist, whatever.
Yeah,
anti-government, whatever. But we get to that regardless. It's good to hear from you. You got the most perfect podcast voice, Paul's. So I can appreciate that.
No, I really appreciate you having me on, and thank you. I knew it was going to be kind of tough to make it work out, but we did it. And I'm here, and you're here, and yay! So, hell yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. We're going to get into it. I have my own ops, just to let the people know. People, if you're listening live, you're in for the long haul. Because we finna get these, at least these good 25 minutes out, my boy. calls. So,
Shara gets 7 minutes. She's like so happy. So you're being super generous with me right now. 25 minutes. Wow.
So, yeah, man. I got real questions. I'm really interested in your whole spiel. So, matter of fact, we just jump off the first question. What's your favorite food, man? What do you like to consume?
Ooh, my favorite food. That's a really tough question, but you know, Alaskan salmon, you should order the fish.
I see what you did there. Gosh.
I didn't go there. It was you threw me the alley oop and I dunked. No, honestly, my favorite food, this is going to sound really weird, but I really like pate. That's probably one of my favorite foods. I like pate. I like foie gras. I like a lot of stuff that you probably shouldn't eat because it's next to still alive. I like really rare steaks. Those are my favorite foods. But being that I'm poor and I'm not really around those kind of fine dining establishments all the time, I'll go with pizza.
Hey, well, I'm poor. That's definitely a poor man's choice is pizza. And plus, I probably couldn't pronounce all the other stuff you just named. So, I'm poor and uneducated. Well, actually, yeah. Me that I have a bachelor's degree, I am definitely uneducated right now.
But I don't use it. Trust me, I don't use it. Nobody wants I ended up getting my master's, and my thesis was on archetypes in political propaganda. And, nobody wants to hire a guy who's, like, in the political propaganda for some reason. I don't know.
No. That can't be true.
Yeah. So,
but no, that's, well, despite being hired, the fact of the matter is that you are in the hip hop community in a very strong way, at least the way I see it, as opposed to bathroom rappers. So, I want to know, like, what got you into hip hop? I know it's kind of that's the most generic question outside of what's your favorite food, but like literally, like I'm a fan, so I want to know like what got you into rap.
Absolutely. So I started listening to hip hop in the late '80s at a relatively young age. I was maybe 8 or 9 years old, and this is around the time that Miami bass was popular, but my mom wasn't having that slide. And then Kool Moe Dee dropped that We Go to Work record off of Knowledge is King. And my mom was like, yo, yeah, we go to work. Let's get it. So she was okay with the East Coast hip hop and everything. So that's when I started listening. Started writing probably in the mid to late 90s. But, like, I never really took it seriously. And then I got in trouble, and I was, like we like to say, I was going to school on the state of Florida's dime in my youth. But I was down the road for a little minute, and, you know, that's when I started taking it a little bit more seriously with the writing. And then when I got out, I was going to Tallahassee Community College, and I was working at TCC Eagles, baby. And like our basketball, it was kind of cool because our basketball team was raw at the time. It was kind of a cool thing on that little TCC campus at that moment in history. But either way, where was I? Yeah, so I was doing that and I was going to Taco Bell, and like I was on community control all at the same time. But so when you're on community control, you can't go clubbing or do anything. Like, you can't spend your money on anything stupid because you're going to go back to jail. So I went and like bought a Korg synthesizer and a Yamaha R1X and got into the beat making side of things. And like, that's kind of how I started developing as an artist. But I didn't really start taking it really, really seriously and touring and like becoming a brand. I hate saying that because it sounds super capitalist and trashy, but I didn't start like branding myself until about 5 years ago when I met Danny, who is super, super amazing. And she is my sister and family, and you know, I don't know what all different titles you would give her, whether it's manager, personal assistant, psychotherapist, whatever you want to call her, but she's super dope. So that, and, you know, being in a relationship with my wife, Cher, has really, really been super dope. And she's had my back and made everything, you know, a lot easier. So, yeah, that's when I started really taking it serious. And like, yo, I might be okay and decent, and some people like my rap, so we need to take this on the road.
And what, like, motivated you to get into, like, really get into the, or get into the pattern, or get into, like, going to the road? Because I know for me, I used to say all the time coming up, like, I'd rather have, instead of being Vanilla Ice, I'd rather be Gangstar. Like, I really, it wasn't really necessarily the accolades I was looking for, but more so just doing what I love, even if it wasn't at that superstar, even that, yeah, at a superstar level. Granted, Gangstar were popular, but, you know, they weren't the Vanilla Ices or the MC Hammers of the 90s. So to see you, like, grind it out and still, you know, make it plausible or make it work, whatever level that work is at, what got you to that point? What made you say, you know what, I'm not going to sit and wait for a label. I'm going to be my own label.
Well, the thing is, I know myself well enough to know that, like, I'm in a niche market. Like, with indie rap, we're kind of a group of weirdos anyways that kind of run the spectrum politically and, you know, socially and everything else. So what I did was I really, like, prided myself on live performance and being able to, like, touch people that way. And I feel that, and, you know, we were just talking about this earlier, with Mac Miller's passing, and that's why that one kind of hurt me, is that he was one of the last of the real, like, touring artists. And I always thought it was important to be able to, like, rock live and meet people and, you know, impact lives that way. And I always feel, and even though I'm getting a little bit older, I feel like I'm kind of in my prime now. So if you have a built-in fan base and you have a touring work ethic, say a label does come calling, you do have leverage. For example, SZA and TDE and the deal that they signed and she signed, like, she was able to bring her fan base that she brought from touring and from the internet, from everything else, to the table. Does that make sense?
Right, right. So, yeah, and that, I remember kind of having that idea, and I think I talked about it a couple episodes ago, like, especially in, well, I saw it in the early 2000s, but it really didn't dawn on me till, like, mid-2000s, where, like, you had, instead of, like, that whole rapper on the corner, A&R pull up in the limo and pick him up and make him to a superstar idea, I started realizing, like, now, a lot of these rappers kind of already had their own setup. Rather, if it was Eminem with the Bass Brothers and he already had the Slim Shady EP set, they just kind of added songs to it. Or like Ludacris, I had already put out an album and they just repackaged it and then put it out. And then even Jay-Z, they already had Rockefeller, they was able to, you know, shop Rockefeller around, whatever, whatever. So a lot of time it kind of dawned on me, like, yo, this really isn't about making music and hoping something sticks to the wall. It's really about creating your own avenue and your own, like, your own part of the culture. And then if someone come pick you up, boom, they got you. You know what I mean? If not, then you just keep grinding.
One of the things that's great about that as well, and, you know, another good example for somebody right now who's done it the way and kind of the model that I feel that I'm following is Nipsey Hussle. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. you create your own brand and you create leverage. So when it does come time to, you know, talk to one of these guys in the suits, you know, you kind of sit down at the table and you're bringing value. They need you more than you need them, because you'll be able to still go out and tour and put out product and do what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? Now, like, the Fly By Night guys, it's a whole nother ball game, and they know, like, whether it be Tekashi 6ix9ine or any of these people who goes viral off of, you know, doing dumb stuff on the internet or whatever, like, they know that they're only good for a season. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the money for the labels. The labels have to stay afloat, you know, but you're going to hear about Kendrick Lamar for the next 20 years. You're going to hear about Nipsey Hussle for the next 20 years. You're going to hear about, I don't know, we'll probably still hear about Jay-Z for the next 20 years, even if he's not rapping. You know what I'm saying? Like, they created that leverage and they made themselves a commodity. They made themselves, you know, a need. You know what I'm saying? Whereas the, you know, the fly by night guys, they may pay a label's bills, you know, for 3 months, for a quarter or whatever, but then they're done for.
Right. And kind of made me think, and I don't want to speak too loudly about this, but it's going to be a bad example since I'm opening up for them in about a week, in about a month rather. Pause.
Good.
But kind of made me think, like, back in the day, like, I used to be mad about Ying Yang Twins, but it's like, yeah, they was hot then, but they not, you know, it's not like necessarily a legacy act, if you will, despite the fact that I'd be opening the act to one of their shows here. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying? But they not on that level like an Outkast or a Gangstar or EPMD or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's like there was no need to really, like, be as, look at them and be like, oh man, they the ops in regards to the culture. When, you know, like you said, if they're a flash in the pan, all right, cool, that's straight. But they don't need to really, you know, sit there and dog them out because it is what it is. Focus on those that's really grinding.
Well, what's dope? What's dope, and I'm not even knocking the Ying Yang Twins, because you know what I appreciate? And they do a lot of stuff on the Gulf Coast where I'm located at now as well. Like, and they get, like, the whole redneck Riviera, like, you know, like, kind of redneckish vibe to the crowds that they do. However, the fact is, these guys are working musicians, and they're getting a couple $1,000s a night on the road.
Right, right.
And I can't knock that at all. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I can't. Somebody that's doing what they love and making a living from it. So, you know, I try not to sound like that crotchety guy in that case. But it's also really funny that you mentioned the Ying Yang Twins. I used to work with this guy named Thomas, and Thomas was a character, and he was, you know, he was a little bit off a little bit. And I'm not talking about Steph the MC Thomas. I've never worked with him.
No, we're not talking about Steph. No, but yeah.
You know, shout out to Stess. He might be a little bit off too, but that's my brother and I love him. So, my man Thomas that I worked with, he was so funny. You remember when that Whistle While I Work song came out? Like, yo, he was like, yo, I really love this song. I love the Whistle While I Work. And he was just like so dead serious about him. And like, me and my bed and water look at him like, yo, what is wrong with this guy? This song is trash. And, yo, where are we going? I thought we were going to eat it. The chicken waffles are next day. My bad. I'm sorry. I was talking to the... Hey, yo, I'm here with my friend Erica, one of the best photographers in the Mid-Atlantic. She was super dope to come out and shoot my show. And, like, she's been a good friend and family friend for, like, over 5 years. So she's dreaming. We're going to a chicken and waffle spot right now to get some food.
Yo, so big up to Erica. Give her the plug. You know what I'm saying? Let people know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, pictures, man. SuburbanSlang.com. Let's get it.
For real. Well, anyway, that allows us to take a good little break and go ahead and get into your tracks on a new project, The Illegalist. So we're going to jump into the tracks with Fire Crackle. What in the world? You know what I just did. I'm trying to put the words together.
All good.
Firecracker. Popsicle, and then we're going to hit y'all with the Saint, and then we're going to come back and talk some more with my man Big Low. This is the Enigma Self Hour. You got time, baby, because we're going to the overtime tonight.
Why?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing?
It's like smoking wolves. The Ric Flair interview, flamboyant the flies, jewels, southern broads, and proper food. Shorties poolside, firecracker popsicles, fillets mid red, lemon butter lobsters too. Glassy eyes all behind the Prada shades, baby powder fresh linen on the hottest days. Yoga pants, squats, the namaste. She's from a convent, her top game's dropping prey. The artsy absolute avant-garde, the pure Peru on countertops of marble wash. Oh my God, why she love the floss? Globetrot, first class to Albatross, I'm cooking. That's bolognese to the noodles. Plenty chronic red eyes and laser beam pupils. Triple doubles, back to back, so I'm moving. Westbrook, one time for my shooters, look. The scholar, the conversational rap writer, the spits watercolors, the rhymes vibrant. And yo, peep the time, it's such a fiery climate. Diamonds are forged in the harshest environments, for sure. I'm on that Florida shit. Plenty bad biddies, plus the aura is rich. Venice Chardonnay with a glorious dish. Alaska salmon, you should order the fish.
Hot Jack.
It's jackpot.
All I know now is that we're a filthy bitch.
Filthy rich.
Amazing. That was Firecracker Popsicle and the Saint, my man Big Low, on his latest project, the Illegalist. Dope yes, project, sir. Bro. I'm amazed by you every time you drop a joint. And
Thank you.
Especially those two joints. That beat, the firecracker joint, like, man, it's like it's dope, but not even like overbearing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I appreciate that.
Level that's respectfully dope, you know what I mean?
It's that's my man CXXXLXXX, and just to make that easier to say over the air, we're gonna refer to him as Six Licks. So that's Six Licks on the beats for that entire project. That's my first time doing a project that was entirely produced by one producer. And it was a super dope experience. It was difficult and fun, and you know, that's fam, and it was dope. It came out really, really well. I like it, and we're both very like minimalist like people, so yeah, it just works. And everything, like, I don't know, I just have fun writing to his stuff and finding different pockets to rap in and stuff like that, instead of, you know, doing the fast rapidy rap stuff that some of the kids like.
It was kind of funny because I was reviewing four projects that dropped within the past week of the last episode, and yours was in that bunch. And like, I was trying to describe that it is simplistic but not simple, and I was trying to like not make it seem like it's low quality, because it's not. Like, it's very dense, but when it comes down to, you know, when you do a project, I could tell, like, you know, it's not a lot of frills. It's basic in that you know what you're going to get, but then it's still a lot to take in if you really, really are listening to it. And
oh, yeah.
I can appreciate that.
I appreciate that. And yeah, there's layers and like, you know, like for instance, somebody caught it in on that firecracker popsicle, you know, I say, for sure, we're on that Florida shit, you know, like, for sure, we live by the water, you know, for
right.
sure. And there's stuff like in my raps where, you know, there's one bar might have three different meanings in it. Then there's, you know, internal rhymes. So like, second syllable in the first line is going to rhyme with the second syllable in the next rhyme. And I like the slower, simple stuff, because I can play with the English language, and it's fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, just being able to challenge yourself to write stuff that are going to make people come back and be like, oh wow, what did he just say? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That you made a catch on the first one.
No, that was, I tell people like when I write, and granted, I'm not as complex as a lot of writers are like yourself, but I kind of take the description from Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And we describe like his comedy. He said he has a refrigerator comedy. The ideal is you'll be at his show, you'll tell a joke. You may laugh just because he looked goofy, or you tell us a joke. You go home with your wife, y'all go to bed, you wake up for a midnight snack, you go into the refrigerator, and while you're looking for the snack, boom, it hits you. That, you know, the joke travels with you or whatever. And that's kind of like always been my thing in regards to my writing, and basically the same concept like you said, where it's like you put little nuggets in there. So the first time you hear it, you're like, all right, that's dope. But when you, the second and third time, you're like, yo, he did this, that, and the third, and it makes it that much more special, I think, to the listener. So to have, to know that you got that same approach to writing, that's dope. And it's Libra swag. So you guys stick to the program. We Libras are the best.
Yo, we got to represent. You got a birthday coming up in a couple days here, and then I got a birthday coming up like a week after yours.
Yeah, that's how we're doing it. Bro, it's our time. Leo's out here trying to shine. Fuck JC. And HL. Get y'all Leo's. It's a real L sign, son.
Exactly. You know, the leaves are changing. You know, the fall air is getting all, it's going to get a little bit less hot in Florida. It's going to get nice and crisp where I'm at up now. I'm about to be in New England here in the next couple of days. So, yeah, man, it's definitely our time, man. Like, all the white girls are putting on their Uggs and getting their pumpkin spices ready. And, like,
right.
It's that type of year.
Oh, it's fall. This is beyond me.
Yeah. No, you can't, man. It's football season. I heard that FAMU got messed over the other day. We ain't going to talk about the other team in Tallahassee. I don't think you want to talk about that other team in Tallahassee.
Man.
But yeah, it's football season. A lot of crazy stuff going on. I love it, man. It's the best time of year.
No doubt. Matter of fact, is it October 6th?
No, October 9th is mine.
No, the game.
Yeah. Is October 6th. In fact, Dr. Lisa in y'all sociology department still owes me a beer from last year's game. And
beer for no one catch.
Hater.
One catch. y'all should have stumped in the crowd last year. Y'all will this year. It should be fun for you guys.
Miami. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually, I don't know, I'm very on the fence of whether I should fly my family down there right after my A3C show and we go watch the game in person, but I don't know. It's super busy right now, so I'll probably just light up the grill and sit at home and watch it on the couch. But, it's that time of year. I mean, and that's what I was telling somebody the other day. I have so much fun touring this time of the year, especially when you're playing in college towns. Like I played Tallahassee, I played Gainesville, I played Athens. And when you're in these ACC and these SEC towns, there's just a buzz in the city that doesn't exist anywhere else in the whole country. You know what I'm saying? And it's super cool. That energy that's in the air is always good. Whether the teams are winning or losing, there's still that energy. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Now, I was kind of going to another question I have for you in regards to, when you set up the tours or whatever, is that part of the method in regards to the city that you hit, or is it just kind of I know some of the spots you hit on the regular. I saw the Facebook post where you had, wasn't the best adventure for you the other day in Charlotte. But what's kind of the method in regards to picking which spots that you decide to put on your tours or whatnot?
Well, a lot of these places are places I've played before. And then typically, when you roll out an album, you would like to have a tour to accompany that album. So while we're still in the process of making the album, we're also booking the tour at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Right. And, I try to route things, especially on the Southeast and the East Coast, it's pretty easy to do, where you try to route things where, your longest drives are going to be, 4 to 5 hours between cities, and you just try to make it work that way. Being active in the Southeast, and then let me give a huge shout-out to my man Nicholas Oliver Booking. He's the first one who got me my first proper tour and got me up here in New England and in the Mid-Atlantic area. And I wouldn't be sitting here with Erica and over the podcast with you right now if it wasn't for him. So, huge shout out to him. And, I don't know if I'm the best rapper in the world or not. That's not really my lane of music, but at the same time, I do feel like I have one of the top tier live performance. And I think that's made touring a little bit easier because people are going to be like, okay, he knows when he comes in, it's going to be a dope show. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So putting the art and the live performance first has helped it. And then one thing I did too, when I got that first opportunity with Nicholas is I made sure that, I met the promoters. I met the venue owners and tried to get the best first impression that I could do. And everybody was opening to bringing me back. And then now at this point, there's places like Richmond, Virginia, there's places up in New England, Manchester, Portland, Maine, stuff like that. Rhode Island that I don't want to say I do better than I do in Florida, but I'm having a really, really good time. You know what I'm saying? And there's actual people coming out to see me rap at them for 30 minutes or whatever.
No, that's dope. Cause I did kind of wonder that because, not to put anything or anybody on blast, but, being at shows that when you was in Tallahassee, which
I want to point out the card, having the postcards with the title of the song. Damn near genius, especially in this day and age.
Thank you.
Yeah, so people can get a visual and be like, hey, I'm going to search that and stream it all day tomorrow so Big Low can get streamed. but, yeah, it was mostly, you know what I'm saying, rappers who rap that, you know, was there. And so I was, you know, wondering, like, you know, that's how Tallahassee is, unfortunately. So I was hoping that it's not necessarily the same in other places. So it's good to hear that that's not the case, that unfortunately it may be a Florida thing or a Tallahassee thing. But it's good to know that, you know, people are really coming out to these shows and supporting. Because I'm all for the indie route and people coming out. I think that's, people complain about music, but it's like, you got it there. You just got to come out and support it.
Exactly. Well, the thing with Tallahassee, and honestly, like, I had a lot of fun at that Tallahassee show, and it's always good being with you guys because you guys are family. You know, I used to be up at the station with y'all when I lived there. So, like, it's kind of one of those things that it's kind of like a reunion every time. And, you know, A to the L, he's like my brother. And there's just right. so much. There's, you know, interesting. Tallahassee is an interesting place to me. But so you have that going on. But the thing about the Wilbury specifically where we performed at Tallahassee, it's very it's a very big space for an indie rap show. Like that place is a 250 capacity place. So even right. though you have like maybe 60 or 75 people there, it feels like there's only 20 people there because it's such a big space. Does that make sense?
Right. Right.
So, you know, that might be a thing that just from an optic standpoint that, you know, you guys in Tallahassee could work on and be like, you know what, like, yo, we have a dope scene, but maybe we need a smaller venue. I don't know if you remember when we used to, when they used to have the Mondays thing, like at Barnacle Bills at the Down Below and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
The crowds there weren't any bigger than the crowds that were at the Wilbury the other night. It was just a tiny space. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that that has a lot to do with it. I will say this, and maybe it's something because there's two major colleges in Tallahassee. You have both Florida State and FAMU, and there's kind of that divide.
Right.
You know, conflicting interests, and it's the capital city. I will say that, and, you know, please don't hate me, Tallahassee, and please book me again, but I feel that Gainesville has, I feel like Gainesville has the far superior art scene, and they support, and shows and playing in Gainesville is a lot of fun.
I'll take it as a challenge, even to myself, because I am a true Tallahasseean and love hip hop. So to me, if they feel stuck away, first holler at me, because Big Low is my bro. And the second, I feel like it's a challenge. So if you feel the type of way about that, do something. Shout out to Willie Tackett. You know what I mean?
I love playing it. Don't get me wrong. That's why I didn't want people to take that the wrong way. I love playing in Tallahassee. And, like, I love you guys. And I always have fun there. But it's a different vibe. Like, in Gainesville, it's, you know, I don't want to say it's different. It's more, it's kind of a hippie-ish town, too. It's just a very... It's like a very small version of Austin, Texas or something. It's more of a music city. Does that make sense?
Right. That's kind of funny because I always thought like Tallahassee was that at some point. It probably was, like, especially when the rock scene was popping in the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, that's why I was always interested in Austin, because I figured it was just a bigger Tallahassee. So for you to say that, it's definitely interesting to me, because I always felt like Tallahassee could be another Austin. But yeah, I think that thing, especially because the rock scene, at least for me, because I was definitely into rock, you know, in the earlier part of the 2000s, and there was really, you know, a lot of stuff popping, but I don't know as much anymore. But I don't know if that's just because it's just not popping, or I'm just more so in the hip hop that I just don't see that side anymore. So, go ahead.
Oh, well, I also think that, like, it's kind of, it's hard, and I'm pretty sure every scene deals with drama. Some scenes I see the drama more because I know people personally, whether it be the Tallahassee scene or the Pensacola scene and stuff like that. And even it's kind of weird, I see some of the drama in other scenes in different cities, but it's definitely a lot to be said about like unity and stuff like that too. And so when you have, right, you know, acts that are clashing that should be in the same line and be on bills together, it kind of hampers things a little bit. And I don't notice that in a lot of cities that have like stuff like super popping, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
this is what we're going to do. I got one final question.
Word.
We're going to turn this Enigma Self hour to the Enigma Self and a half hour and a half. Y'all owe me money for giving y'all this extra content. What's good? But being that we both now are our fathers, unfortunately, I'm not a husband, at least not yet. How do you deal with that? Because I know, you know, being that, you know, my daughter doesn't live with me, and that's tough on a daily basis. But, you know, your daughter's there with you in house or whatever, and then you go on the road, I would lose my mind.
I don't. I'm depressed a lot of the time. I deal with super social anxiety. I miss her dearly. And I don't know how musicians and family people could have done it, you know, just 10 years ago. I'm definitely thankful for having like FaceTime. I FaceTime her every day. I tell her good night every night before she goes to sleep when I'm on tour. And I make sure I'm in constant contact with her. So that's a little bit of a semblance, but no, it's not the same as, you know, hugging your daughter and kissing her on the head and telling her to go to sleep. But I also right. feel that there's a thing that if I quit, and like I could easily, I don't want to say easily, but I could probably go get a cubicle job right now if I wanted to. My skill set, you know, kind of lends itself to me doing something square in a cubicle for the rest of my life and hating myself. But
don't
I feel like... Yeah, and I feel that I've come so far that if I quit right now, like, what kind of precedent would that set for her? Like, I want her, like, whatever she wants to do, she, you know, if she wants to be an astronaut, be an astronaut. If she wants to be an engineer, be an engineer. If she wants to be a firewoman, be a firewoman. Like, whatever she wants to do, I don't want her to quit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I feel like I would be letting her down and letting a lot of things down if I quit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I definitely get it. I definitely get it.
It's everything's for her. So, yes.
Yeah, man, you're right. I mean, anytime I, you know, hug my daughter, like, I know people, I usually find it corny when people be online, like, oh, that's my heartbeat. But, like, literally, when I'm holding my daughter, when I hug my daughter, I can literally feel my heart get stronger. So,
No, there's nothing corny about that. And honestly, like, I don't know, people who think that loving your kid is corny, they're trash people. So whatever.
Yeah, ain't like, no way. Ain't no way that, at all.
For you know what I'm saying? That's kind of weird. That's a weird thing to think is corny. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and right. I mean, I know you personally. I know you're a hell of a dad. So, and it's just, yeah, it's tough. And like I said, I'm depressed a lot of time. And then a lot of times you're on the road by yourself and your own thoughts. And you're like, damn, you know, I really wish that I was doing this. Or I really wish, you know, I was just at swim practice with her, watching her swim or whatever she's doing. She's real big in the swimming and the gymnastics. I think she's starting to become better at swimming than gymnastics. So probably in a year or two, it might just be just swimming. You know what I'm saying? If she's
right.
It's kind of amazing watching, but she's a phenom, and I'm not just saying that as her father, but she's 4 years old and already like swimming laps and going under and doing like all sorts of like no floats, no anything. It's crazy. Like it's really wild to watch. You know what I'm saying? And
right,
like she got a personal coach up at the university now that works with her, so it's kind of become like a big thing in our house. And like I wasn't like some weird professional swimmer guy, so I don't know where it comes from, you know. But yeah, it's as a parent, it's so difficult being away from my family. Yeah, and you don't really I mean, you maintain, you find things to occupy your time, whether it be, you know, talking on a podcast with my man Enigma, or,
hey,
you know, or watching, you know, or eating chicken and waffles. You try to find things to occupy your time, you know.
Right. But nah, man, like, as a cubicle inhabitant, yo, I encourage you to continue to stay on the grind, because on the other side, yeah, like you said, it's all right. I ain't gonna say it's the worst thing in the world. As long as I got a job, I mean, baby girl can eat, and I gotta do what I gotta do. But
and I'd rather sit in a cubicle than like be out doing like lawn care service or something, especially in Florida. So
word, definitely, yeah. no complaints there. But other than that, man, like, yo, again, I got nothing but respect for you. You know, for you doing your thing, from being a father, being a husband, to, you know, being an ill rapper, putting out dope project, dope content, being on tour, just being like a dope human being, bro. So I appreciate you taking the time. I apologize for the mix up, but we got editing, so we're going to handle it.
When you call in on that other number, it's a ministry. It directs you to a church.
That's weird.
Yeah, because I was like, no, I don't. I was like, you know, I don't. You know, I don't touch anybody's face. I mean, I'm.
Lo was like, yo, wait, nigga, got me.
No. I mean, I'm from the same country, so like, I get it. You know, there's a lot of soul out there. I just don't. I didn't pick up that soul growing up for some reason, but.
Right. So, it probably would have been fitting too, because you probably like, yo, Enigma. He ain't the best Christian, but he is a Christian. He trying to set me up like...
No, but unlike some other people we have in our circle of friends, you'll never hear me criticize any of that stuff, so...
Yeah, nah, I take it with a grain of salt. I'm not one to force anything on anybody. You make your decision, you live your life, and it's all good. But regardless...
I've been through a lot of religions in my life, and I've had evolutions from here and there, and then I went through a long period for about 10 years where I was atheist. And then, you know, with my daughter being born and just a lot of things that have happened over the last couple years, I've kind of like backpedaled a little bit, and I'm just going to sit at the agnostic thing. I just can't really get into man controlling text, but I think it's kind of foolish of me to think that, you know, there couldn't be something out there. And then, you know, atheists are insufferable. Just like, shut up sometimes. Let people believe what they want to believe. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of
becomes right. A thing.
You know, like, yo, this, you know, you can have your thoughts. That's cool. As long as, like, a religion is not hurting me, it's, you know, it's what brings people peace. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Word. No, I'm with it, man. But, again, I appreciate you being on the podcast, bro. Peace. Us chopping it up. Other things you need to chop it up more so outside the podcast than we do, but I don't call people anyway. So
absolutely. I love you, man, and thank you for having me on. Like, it means a lot, and I'm glad that we're able to make it work out. When you first asked me, I was like, I don't know, and then I hit up the promoter for the show and everything, and then when he was like, yo, the times are this, I was like, yay, I was so happy that we're able to make it work. So
yeah, man. Like I said, you want to probably one of my favorite indie rappers. You know what I'm saying? But in general, like, it's you doing your thing. So much respect.
So what kind of record do I need to make to be one of your favorite rappers and not just indie rappers? Because yo, this indie rap life isn't all that glamorous. So I'm working at it. Maybe one day I'll be one of your favorite rappers without the indie clause.
Right. Right. Yeah, I'll put some thought into it. I gotta put some thought and see what I can get you.
Everybody's giving me about not riding hooks. But yo, thank you so much, man. I gotta eat. I'm starving.
No doubt. Do that. I appreciate you, bro.
I appreciate you. Peace. And
no doubt. This is to the audience. This is Enigma Self Hour and a half and a half and a half and a half. Appreciate y'all. We out of here. Peace.
Peace.